It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We're going to win. I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I wouldn't have said it. It was tougher for me. But when we're leading in Michigan in the early vote, that's unheard of.
I'm a competitor. I always like to win, but I've never felt such an obligation because 4 more years of Donald Trump will fundamentally change the nature of this country for several generations.
Yeah, Sandy Rios with you. I believe that's what Barack Obama said. He wanted to fundamentally change the United States. And for 8 years, that's actually what he set us on the trajectory to do. And you can see how far we have fallen and how we have denigrated. And I'll talk about that in a second. But that's the election is just 2 weeks from today. And it is getting ever more dangerous. And I want to talk to you about it. This morning, the debate commission, or last night, they declared their new rules. New rules, of course, new rules by the debate commission, that on Thursday night when President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden debate on NBC, the commission will now mute the microphones as they see fit. Now they have a rule. They're saying it will only happen, you know, at certain times. But do you think for a moment, with things turning out the way they are, with Joe Biden concerned now, his campaign concerned that he might lose, Joe Biden has gone underground, by the way. He's not even coming out of his basement until Thursday night. He's disappeared. He won't answer any questions about his son, Hunter Biden's laptop, or his personal connections and the money that he, we believe, has enriched himself with through his son's business dealings with countries that he was overseeing as vice president. It is one of the worst scandals ever in the highest office of the land. And so, but he won't answer any questions about it. He will tell you about what flavor of milkshake he has ordered. That's the one question that he did get. So we've got President Trump out, you know, what, 6 times a day? I'm not sure. 4? He's doing rallies, incredible rallies. The polls are tightening. And so now on the debate, which we know now the debate commission is all in the tank for Joe Biden. We know that. We know that they've changed their rules. They tried to do a virtual town hall because that would be helpful to Joe Biden to stay in his basement and have all of his notes and his teleprompter and all of his help. So they canceled it. President Trump said, I don't want to do a virtual. I don't want to do a virtual. I will do on the stage town hall in front of people with Joe Biden. But Joe Biden wasn't in favor of that, so the debate commission canceled it. And now they've changed the rules for Thursday night. And they're going to be able to mute the microphones. Now, whose microphone do you think they're going to mute? And do you think it's like you may have been offended that President Trump interrupted Joe Biden in the last debate? He wasn't on his best behavior. I agree with you. But he said some very profound things. It's just his style kind of covered up the profound things he was actually challenging Joe Biden with. He was exasperated and probably sick. And so now they're going to be pushing the button to mute him. You know they are. And you know who's going to be muting him. And so I've heard some like assurances by some people on television. I'm not assured. I think this is very dangerous. I think it's very dangerous with things going the way they are. I think it will be very detrimental to the president. And I'm concerned about it. And we also know that the debate moderator, Kristen Welker, is a Democratic partisan. Worse than that, people in the press corps consider her to be as far left as AOC. And she's going to be the debate moderator. And worse than that, the topic of this debate was supposed to be foreign policy. But no, you know what? Kristen Welker has decided, and the debate commission has signed off on this, it's not going to be, you know, so much about foreign policy. It will be about, guess what? COVID, American families, race in America, climate change. Now, and a few other things. I wonder who you think, who did she have in mind? Are those the things that President Trump leads on? No, they're all Joe Biden topics. And so You see how this is going, and I am very concerned. By the way, a judge yesterday, the Supreme Court, actually, with the help of John Roberts, who is the deciding vote on this, sided with Democrats in Pennsylvania on giving like five more days for mail-in ballots to come in after the election. Maybe it's 4 days, 4 or 5 days. But anyway, it's until Friday. And so what this means is, what this can mean, is that when the ballots are cast on Election Day and all the mail-in ballots have been cast, that if there's, this is what this creates a potential of, is President Trump should have victory, then this gives just a little more time for some mail-in ballots to just show up. And in many of these states, they're not really checking on the dates of the mail-in ballots. They're not checking. They're not verifying them. You know this, right? So this, what we might have happen on Election Day is that it's possible, it's likely, I think President Trump will be the victor on Tuesday, but he won't get declared the victor. No. We have to wait till all those ballots come in on Friday or whenever the date is for the other states. And then they have to be counted by someone, and then they have to be determined by someone. And so we could have a President Trump and then a Joe Biden, and then mass confusion. And that is exactly, of course, what the left, I've always told you, that's how the left controls. They overwhelm the system, and then they take control because of the chaos. Yeah, so I don't see this ending well. And I have to say, one of the things I read this morning was that New Yorkers are fleeing the city, those that are left, because they believe there's going to be terrible violence on election. And some are thinking that if President Trump should win, they will actually go and burn Trump Tower. Well, that would be congruent with what I've read about what they're planning and the instructions they're sending out to think of the black masked people in the streets of San Francisco who beat the leader of a patriot rally last Saturday, knocked his teeth out, called him a racist. Think about, there were hundreds of them, and they went after like a dozen people who were waving the flag and playing Proud to Be an American. It was really a noble effort, but you can imagine what they're going to do in our streets on Election Day or in the aftermath of the election. And so just be aware, and so vote. Okay, so vote. Vote in person. You can vote in person early. Just make sure your ballot goes into the place, not in some box on a street, not put in the post office box to mail through the mail. Don't do that. Just be careful and take care and vote. And make sure your friends vote and your neighbors vote. People, your family members, tell them to vote. We're hearing it all over the television. It makes me nervous. Facebook has got this constant ad that runs on Fox. I don't trust Facebook as far as I could throw them. There might be a reason why. Because the content regulator for Facebook is Anna Makanju. And who is Anna? Well, she advised Joe Biden on Ukraine. And recently in the Washington Post, she defended Joe Biden from charges of wrongdoing in regard to Ukraine. That's Facebook. And this is the fifth day, by the way, of Twitter banning the New York Post. A major media outlet in this country has been taken off Twitter because they dared to report that Hunter Biden's laptop contained email that were damning to him and to his father. So now Twitter and Facebook will not let you see them. And so people, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans have no idea. Mike Emanuel did a report last night updating us on the Hunter Biden situation. I want you to hear it, and then I have more things to add. Clip 10.
Today, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe poured cold water on those seeking to dismiss the purported Hunter Biden email and laptop story after law enforcement and intelligence officials have been largely silent.
Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign.
The director of national intelligence breaking what has been silence from the intelligence and law enforcement authorities on Hunter Biden's purported laptop and alleged emails.
This has nothing to do with the intelligence community or Russian disinformation. If it was, I would know that. So to be clear, it's not.
Ratcliffe's pushback appeared to be in response to this attack from House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff.
Clearly, the origins of this whole smear are from the Kremlin, and the president is only too happy to have Kremlin help in trying to amplify it.
Fox News has obtained new images, including what appears to be a receipt from the Wilmington, Delaware computer repair shop signed by Hunter Biden, which also contained an email and cell phone number for him, and documentation from the FBI's interaction with shop owner John Paul MacIsaac, which showed the Bureau took possession of an alleged Hunter Biden laptop and external hard drive last December. Fox News obtained four alleged Hunter Biden emails last week, two about his business dealings in Ukraine in 2014 and 2015 while his father was vice president, two about his 2017 business activities in China after Biden left office.
Let me be clear. This is not it's bad enough that the vice president's son is doing the things that he's doing. This directly implicates the guy who wants to be the president of the United States. We have reason to believe that he is completely compromised on communist China. We found out yesterday that with the help of Hunter Biden, an organization of businessmen, they have a name. We're invited to the White House, a whole delegation of them. The only reason we know this, it isn't on the White House logs. It's because the Chinese businessmen bragged about it. And this is, you understand, China is our most threatening enemy on the globe. You understand that? And the guy who wants to be your president is completely compromised with China. That's why this is so dangerous, and that's why it's so dangerous that Twitter and Facebook and others will not report this, and that they're blocking out the New York Post's coverage of this. Jeff Greenwald, who is part of Intercept, he's the founder of Intercept, he's not a conservative by any means, was on Tucker Carlson last night and had this to say about all of that. Clip eight.
Adam Schiff is seriously the most pathological liar in all of American politics that I have seen in all of my time covering politics and journalism. He just fabricates and accusations at the drop of a hat the way that other people change underwear. He's simply lying when he just asserts over and over that the Russians or the Kremlin are behind this story. He has no idea whether or not that's true. There's no evidence to support it. And what makes it so much worse is that the reason the Bidens aren't answering basic questions about this story. Basic questions like, did Hunter Biden drop that laptop off at that repair shop? Are the emails authentic? Do you deny that they are? Do you claim any have been altered or any of them fabricated? Did you in fact meet with Burisma executives as these emails suggest? The reason that they don't answer any questions is because the media has signaled that they don't have to, that journalists will be attacked and vilified simply for asking.
All right, it's Glenn Greenwald, the founder of Intercept. And then he goes on to say, to explain to us why this is so dangerous. Remember, Glenn is not a conservative. So, Devin, let's play this out. If we have to delay the break just a tiny bit, do that. But this is Glenn Greenwald on the intelligence community being complicit with this. Let's listen.
The whole point of the intelligence community since the end of World War II was that whatever propaganda the CIA produces, whatever disinformation campaigns they engage in, were never supposed to be directed domestically. That was the point of the NSA, CIA, and all of those intelligence communities. And what we've seen since 2016, going back to the 2016 campaign, is incessant involvement in U.S. domestic politics, working with journalists to disseminate information purely for partisan ends. And if you want to talk about things like violating norms and dangerous to democracy, what is more dangerous than allowing the CIA constantly to be manipulating our politics by making cover for the Biden campaign by claiming anonymously that the Russians are behind this story and therefore you ought to disregard it? Even if the Russians were behind the story, why does that alleviate the responsibility of journalists to evaluate these emails and to examine whether or not Joe Biden actually engaged in misconduct? But the much bigger point is the way this information is being disseminated. It is a union of journalists who have decided that their only goal is to defend Joe Biden and elect him president of the United States, working with the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, not to manipulate our adversaries or foreign governments, but to manipulate the American people for their own ends. It's been going on for four straight years now, and there's no sign of it stopping anytime soon.
Glenn Greenwald with Tucker Carlson. This is exactly what's happening. You hear the urgency in his voice. He's not overstating. We are in for some very, very difficult times if the election does not turn out the right way. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
2020 has been a year of firsts in many ways. Now, for the first time ever, Southern Evangelical Seminary's annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics will be fully virtual. The week of October 12th through the 17th, you and your family can attend one of the largest apologetics events in the country, each evening, right from your living room. With our culture in chaos, it's time for God's people to stand strong and be bold. This conference will help you do that through sessions like Introduction to Cultural Apologetics, God, Morality, and Evil, and An Exclusive Gospel in an Inclusive World, all led by more than 75 speakers, including Frank Turek, Richard Land, and Elisa Childers. Registration is only $30 for more than 100 hours worth of solid Bible-based instruction. And don't worry about missing anything, because you'll have on-demand access to it all for at least 3 months. Get signed up today at conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Someone is targeting Trump supporters in the suburbs of Kansas City. A number of supporters received a flyer at their home warning them their address had been added to a database and they would be targeted should President Trump not concede the election. My good friend Matt Schlapp of the American Conservative Union sent me a copy of the flyer. Homeowners were told to be prepared to face severe consequences. Look, let's call this out for what it really is: domestic terrorism. For more than 3 years, Trump supporters have faced unrelenting attacks, beaten in the streets, businesses burned and looted, and now the left is bringing the fight to our neighborhoods. This is flat out un-American and unacceptable. It's past time for the Justice Department to put a stop to this nonsense. This is America. You don't burn down somebody's house just because they want to make this country great again. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Kamala Harris, at the explicit instruction of Planned Parenthood, had targeted me and me alone among all undercover video news gatherers in the state of California to enforce the California video recording law against me and to punish me for speaking the truth about her powerful campaign donors at Planned Parenthood. What we've come to learn in the years since, just 2 weeks before serving the search warrant on my home, Kamala Harris had a secret meeting in Los Angeles with several top-level executives of Planned Parenthood in California. We then found out from the California DOJ investigator reports that Planned Parenthood's top lawyer in California had specifically instructed the California DOJ agents that Planned Parenthood wanted the video equipment and the computers that I was using to publish the videos to be seized. in order to shut me up, in order to prevent me from continuing to publish the truth about Planned Parenthood's involvement in fetal trafficking, and in order to punish me for speaking out with a message that was disfavored by Planned Parenthood and by Kamala Harris in the state of California. I think what people have to understand about organizations like Planned Parenthood and about their political backers like Kamala Harris is that they're shameless, and they will do whatever they have to do in order to promote their agenda. They'll say whatever they have to say, and they are not afraid to use every bit of power at their disposal to force their agenda through. Kamala Harris is the single greatest threat to First Amendment civil liberties that our country has ever seen. If Kamala Harris is elected to be a heartbeat away from the highest office in the United States of America, you will have someone in the White House who has a radical contempt and disrespect for First Amendment civil liberties, someone who believes that she's entitled to use the powers of her office in order to punish the viewpoints of citizens who disagree with her.
That was David Dowlaiden, and David, of course, is the videographer of the Inside the Planned Parenthood clinics in California and other places, demonstrating that they were dissecting and discussing selling baby body parts. There was a congressional investigation about that that verified David's documentary, and of course, Kamala Harris was the attorney general at the time and went after him with a vengeance, and that's what he is describing. So Kamala Harris is very clear about how she feels about abortion for all 9 months for any reason. She not only believes it, she fights for it. Joe Biden, who is the presidential candidate, has said very clearly, if by chance with Amy Coney Barrett on the court they should overturn Roe versus Wade, why, he will just institute a law, introduce it to Congress and the House, and pass it himself, that would reinstate Roe versus Wade, abortion for all 9 months for any reason. That's really with the companion case Doe versus Bolton, and that is what Roe versus Wade said. All right, so where does that leave Christians who are voting in this election? Where does that, it's not the only issue. It is not the only issue on the table, I'm sure of it. And yet it is something that we must pause to consider. Well, John Smirek is the senior editor at The Stream, and he's written an article, which we're going to talk about in just a second, about a strain of so-called Christianity that seems to be influencing a lot of people as they go to vote. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be on. Well, one of my colleagues at Stream.org had to address a group that appeared out of nowhere calling itself Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. Now, that's a surprising name. You'd be surprised to hear that such a group exists. Well, in fact, it really doesn't. It's kind of like one of those inflatable lawn ornaments you see for Christmas or Halloween that they pump up with helium and then they dismantle it. They don't really have members. They have like a couple of front people, and then they have a mysterious amount of money to put on ads just before the election. I did some research. I found out there's another big group called Faithful America that was doing a petition drive against Amy Coney Barrett as a threat to Christian values if she made it onto the Supreme Court. And what they do is they get a few people in clerical collars, they get a few people holding Bibles, standing in front of churches, and they make them seem like legitimate church leaders. That if you go dig on its website, you'll see that it brags about having tried to destroy the company Hobby Lobby, the charity World Vision, and the Family Research Council. Well, maybe these people aren't really serious Orthodox evangelical Christians. So doing a little more digging, we find they get Faithful America. It claims its funds all come from member donations, but in fact it asked for and got hundreds of thousands of dollars from George Soros. And that's something that it's worth looking at. If you see an organization that presents itself as being faithfully Christian but endorses positions or politicians of the radical left, you should ask and try to see if it's funded by George Soros, because he and other left-wing billionaires, he's not alone in this, Warren Buffett does this too, they like to set up front groups. They like to use what George Soros' people call rented evangelicals. That's right. in WikiLeaks, which uncovered some internal Soros documents back in 2016, his staffers actually call people rented evangelicals or evangelical mascots. And within the Catholic world, George Soros has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Jesuit order, which is an order that used to be quite solid and faithfully Catholic, and now is in many places kind of a gay Democrat front group. It's sad to say.
Yeah, John, let me just jump in. Let me give some context to this, because this is not the first time that George Soros and others that you just mentioned, Warren Buffett and others, have tried to deceive Americans, and the first time that so-called evangelicals have cooperated in that deception. And I just want to mention, several years ago, the evangelical immigration table sprung up, and it was founded by Wallace.
Jim Wallace of Sojourners Magazine, also funded by George Soros,
yes.
Also lied about it.
Yes, totally. Lied about it, was funded by him, but at the time, they came out with this commercial. They were trying to stop the... it wasn't President Trump then, but there were barriers to just all-out free reign over the border. And there were some attempts to push that back. And so the evangelical immigration table came out with all these scriptures about how it's Christian to open the borders. And by the way, I just read an article on Ministry Watch just last night, actually, that was featuring the evangelical immigration table. I thought they were dead by now. We had managed to peel off some evangelicals from this, but Russell Moore and the ERLC are firmly planted, and they're still alive and awake. So this is another organization funded by George Soros and other leftists.
So keep that in mind. Let's think that through for a second. George Soros favors open borders, abortion on demand, the destruction of the state of Israel, advances Islamic terrorist groups, supports the Iranian regime. If he's giving somebody money, maybe you shouldn't trust those people. Well, why are they willing to take money from such a source? If the Playboy Foundation offered you money, I don't think most churches would take it. Well, this is just as bad. This is not just some conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy reality. Billions of dollars flooding around the world to support leftist groups that threaten us directly. And when I say directly, you know that couple in St. Louis that had a mob attack their house and they just waved around some guns to try to scare them off so they wouldn't burn down and destroy the historic house they'd restored with their own money over the course of 10 years? Well, the local prosecutor, it turns out, was elected with support from George Soros, who targeted local DAs all across the country to elect radical leftists. So these people who used guns they had legally and obeyed the castle doctrine that is on the books in the state of Missouri, they did nothing wrong and they didn't harm or even threaten anyone, they're being prosecuted for a felony because the local Soros-elected prosecutor decided politically it would be useful to scare people away from defending their homes against Antifa mobs. I did some research. My local DA here in Dallas was selected by George Soros. It is absolutely terrifying. Imagine if an American billionaire were selecting the prosecutors in France or in Poland or in Italy. They would be outraged.
Well, and the other side of that, of course, John, is that that's the reason why so many of these protesters, violent protesters, are back on the streets, because people like the Soros-nominated persons are in place and they're letting them off, or they're not charging them with crimes, and so we have we have chaos on the streets. By the way, I want to go back just a second, because there's tons of deception, and it seems like plenty of people are willing to dance the dance. And it's just amazing to me because there is a survey that I want to kind of share with you for a second. I bet you're familiar with this. It comes out of George Barna and the Christian Research Center in Arizona. And it's for Christians or people who call themselves evangelicals. According to a recent study by George, 52% of evangelicals now say they do not believe in objective moral truth or that the Bible is inerrant and trustworthy in all its contents. 75% believe that people are basically good instead of basically sinful. And then I just want to skip to this next section. 44% of evangelicals believe the Bible's teaching on abortion are ambiguous. 40% do not believe human life is sacred. 34% do not believe marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, that's just a portion of his findings. But John, that leads us to another category of persons, and that's people that fancy that they are genuine Christians, but just don't even understand the basic doctrines of the faith. And those people are prey to this kind of propaganda, aren't they?
I would say so. I mean, when you're swimming upstream, like salmon have to do, it's easy to stop swimming and just float with the current. And right now, the culture, our elites, our media, many of our schools, and tragically, some of the leaders within our church organizations who've been bought off by people like George Soros or people like Warren Buffett, they're all going with the culture. You know, they don't want to, they're offering a peaceful, easy solution. Just take this one part of the gospel and sell it. We'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Just this one part. We don't object to Jesus. We don't object to religion. We think it can be helpful. It can be decorative. It's a nice little bow we'll put on top of the box. It's a cherry on top of the cake. All we ask is you deny this one thing. That's not too much to ask. It reminds me of the early church when the Roman Empire wanted people to burn one little pinch of incense in front of a gold idol of Caesar and claim that and say Caesar is God. You just have to do it once, and we'll leave you alone. But if you don't do it, we will kill you in the Colosseum along with your family. We will feed you to lions, or we will skin you alive. And the reason Christianity survived, thrived, and converted the Roman Empire was the courage of these early Christians in saying, no, we will not compromise. Whatever aspect of the gospel it is you, Caesar, or Mammon, or Sodom, want us to give up, clearly that's the important one at the moment. Clearly, that is the bridge we're being asked by God to defend, rather than betray him, rather than abandon him, as most of the apostles abandoned Jesus.
That reminds me so much, John, of the verses I've been reading as I, you know, read through Scripture about being remaining faithful to the end, remaining faithful to the end. And we have so far passed the Rubicon of really holding fast to the faith. And then that's not everyone. I'm speaking according to the percentages here. I guess I am speaking about most so-called evangelicals. Just the whole notion of holding fast to one point of doctrine is just lost on us. We are like different strokes for different folks, you know, have it your way, have it your way. And I think the church has set the groundwork for this, John, because we have not been teaching our people Scripture. It has just slipped. We have a couple of verses on Sunday morning, you know, a verse and a poem, and that's about it. And we've abandoned the rigorous teaching and discipline the fruit is solid understanding of doctrine. So we've cooperated in this.
We're constantly fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we don't fight with our own power. We fight with God's power, and we ask for his help continuously, and we seek out and support each other and pray for help. If you listeners are interested, at stream.org, we publish 5, 7, 8, 10 articles a day in support of people's walk of faith and their attempt to bring the principles of freedom and prosperity and faithfulness to life as American citizens. It was founded by the Reverend James Robison, who some of you might know from the TV show Life Today.
Oh, I know him well from way back.
Well, he's my boss, and I write 5 columns a week at stream.org, and I got something up today. The Catholic case for Joe Biden, only torture the innocent. We are going through, for the benefit of Catholic voters, how Joe Biden's agenda is completely at odds with any Catholic or Christian vision of politics. And, that's my newest thing, but I'm on there 5 days a week investigating these things and trying to highlight them in the eyes of faith and reason.
Yes, and you do a great job, John. And so let me just say that the article we touched on, at least lightly, this morning was Who's Behind the Fake Christian Group Against Amy Barrett? And then the answer, of course, George Soros, and by John Smirak, who is our guest. John, we'll put that on our Facebook page, put the link, and we do appreciate so much your time. And I know you had to get up early to talk to us this morning, so we'll have another conversation on another. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. I want to also add that there's a great article by Hayden Ludwig with Capital Research Center also called Faithful America's Faithless Attacks on Amy Coney Barrett, courtesy of George Soros. We'll put that as a companion piece to John's on our Facebook page so that you can read more about it. You really do need to know about it, and it might help you in making the case for doing what's right now in this country. Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
Judge Amy Coney Barrett has said a justice should be someone who applies the law, who follows the law where it goes, and who doesn't decide simply on the basis of partisan preference. For that reason and more, AFA supports the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Barrett is a well-qualified nominee, and her legal works show that she's a constitutional originalist. Visit AFA.net and send a message urging your senators to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
How much does a six-month subscription to the AFA Journal cost? It's free! For 6 months, you can read articles and updates in the pro-life movement. You can read about family-friendly entertainment, laws that may impact your family or your business, and of course, what the American Family Association is up to and how you can help. So what are you waiting for? Visit afajournal.org for your free six-month subscription to the AFA Journal.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. With this statement, Jesus affirmed what he'd already said in Genesis 1 and 2 and defined marriage for all time. Contrary to the protestations of the nouveau critical theorists, the nuclear family consisting of a married father and mother is not a Western sociological prescription or construct. Marriage did not originate in the West. Its origin isn't suburban America. It started in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. Marriage is God's idea. Therefore, He alone defines it. If you don't like it, your problem is with God, not me.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. This truly is a generational election. The results of this election will be felt for generations to come. Whether we move in the direction of protecting every baby in every womb or move toward the wholesale slaughter of the unborn, whether we continue to move toward the rule of law and judges who respect the Constitution or move toward increasing chaos and lawlessness, whether we move toward parental choice in education or toward government control, whether we move toward sexual normalcy or slide further into sexual deviancy will be determined by the votes we cast on November 3. It's time for us to ask this question: what kind of nation do I want my children and grandchildren to inherit, and which of these two candidates is most likely to get that done? Think carefully, think soberly, and choose wisely.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The New York Post's revelations last week of the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop, including national security sensitive information, as well as sordid personal details, has triggered two competing responses. For those who have actually been able to learn about these revelations, the reaction has typically been outrage at the evidence of endemic corruption in former Vice President Biden's family. This information has been systematically suppressed, however, by the so-called mainstream and social media. In its stead, these outlets have notably promoted another fraudulent narrative from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, blaming Russian influence operators for Hunter's incriminating emails. The whole point of having a free press is to let the public decide what to believe. Ditto the protected legal status enjoyed by Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. That status is not deserved, however, by those who instead act as partisan censors. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It was a summer day. My dad walked in the door and he said, "Denise, I want to become a woman."
I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
led me into a lifestyle of being gay identified for 8 years.
I struggled with my identity all the way through my life. Lived 8 years as Laura Jensen until I found the Lord Jesus Christ.
The issues are unavoidable. They're on the news.
The White House in rainbow colors.
They're in our legislation.
The Texas bathroom bill.
In our schools.
Drag queen story hour.
Our entertainment, our social media. They're even reaching into our churches.
Let us be the church together.
We're not just talking about issues. We're talking about people.
I began injecting myself with massive doses of testosterone.
Right here is the needle. The needle's about this big.
15 months on hormone blockers.
Maybe another month of hormones. There was always this elusive happiness, but I never quite got there.
And you begin to realize that maybe this didn't fix what you needed to fix.
We are taking biologically healthy young children and putting them at risk.
Every church in America is facing this. Love and acceptance and inclusion.
They are legally married.
As Christians, we can't sit this one out. Neither can we straddle the fence or just leave it to the experts. Every believer has to discover the truth, and that starts by digging into the scriptures.
Many people now say that my experience trumps scripture.
Can we change God's words? We don't have the luxury to edit what God has said.
Being created in God's image means that God's fingerprints are all over us.
The man and the woman are created each for each other. There is a fittedness. That's the language.
If Jesus Christ becomes your Lord, he is the one who is to identify who you are.
I love my partner. I love my job. I love my entire identity behind. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Is it really possible that I can experience change?
The fact that there's a struggle doesn't mean that you're on the wrong path. Obeying God is a struggle. Holiness is a struggle.
There is hope for you. God loves you, and you are made in the image of God.
I felt like light was bursting forth from me, and I knew I was completely changed.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That is the trailer for In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. Not the first time you've heard me talk about this, is it? But today we are really underscoring the release of this DVD, which I think you will absolutely find compelling. You can listen to it at inhisimage.movie or watch it, inhisimage.movie. And that's what we want you to know, among other things. I want to just say that as I was listening to that trailer, it just occurred to me, after I've just spent the 45 minutes telling you about what all the chaos that's going on in our world, it reminded me of the fact that our God brings order, that when he looked upon the face of the deep, he separated the waters, he brought order, he made male and female, created he them. He is the God of order. The God that's of this world is a God of chaos, but this is our God. And so we're reestablishing, we're drawing a line in the sand. This is God's design. And this movie is made in such a compelling way that you will not want to miss it. It will be valuable to all of your confused friends and neighbors and family members and children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles who don't understand because of the chaos that's been presented to them. This will reestablish what God thinks about male and female. It's called In His Image. Go to inhisimage.movie. And you can see it. You can get. You can find out how to find it. It's on YouTube. M.D. Perkins is the producer of this movie, and I've asked him to join us this morning. He's the director producer. M.D., thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Sandy.
All right. So I was just wondering, M.D., why would you? This is a tough topic and very controversial. So why this topic?
Well, this topic is obviously something that we're being bombarded with in the media. A lot of Christians think they can just sit this one out or maybe play neutral or something. But, you know, all you have to do is log onto your Facebook or Twitter account and realize that people are talking about this all the time, and they are coming after Christians, expecting for Christians to capitulate, expecting Christians to maybe even just back down from the historic positions that they've held for a long time. And so Christians aren't allowed to just sit this one out. And so part of that reality is something that the AFA leadership was very interested in, us as American Family Studios team, myself and the other producers on this project, starting to craft something that would be able to speak into the culture as well as really be a rallying cry for the church to remind us of the things that we've forgotten and to give some backbone and some strength and some confidence to Christians to be able to speak into these controversial issues among their family and friends and other church members.
You know, I actually think it's almost impossible not to be confused about gender, even if you're a Christian in this day and time. So I ask you, MD, with all your great background, and I know your biblical understanding, you would not be running American Family Studios if you didn't have a strong biblical background. But did you find your own mind being clarified a little bit as you interviewed people who'd been touched by the chaos, you know, whether it's children going through transgender, you know, hormones or, you know, mm-hmm. or people that were gay and now they aren't? Did you find some things being clarified for you, for yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once you really dig deep into what the scripture says about it, you're just reinvigorated with the confidence of what God's word teaches. And then when you speak to these people who have met Christ and Christ has radically transformed them, and these are not easy transformations. These are not, you know, they just prayed a prayer one day and everything was okay. I mean, there was a lot of counseling and things that they had to work through in their own minds, ways in which they had been harmed previously often in their lives and the lies of the enemy that they had believed and taken on for themselves. But, you know, once you have these kinds of conversations with Christians, which are really offering a counter narrative, you know, we're told that people can't change. We're told that people are just born this way and it's innate and immutable orientation. Or we're told that that transgenderism is just this idea that somebody is born potentially in the wrong body or they have the mind of the other gender in their head. But, you know, once we realize that these things are not true and that there is hope on the other side of it, it does reinvigorate you as a believer to say, no, I mean, the things that have been taught, the things that I've understood about Scripture are actually true, and I don't need to adjust that or nuance that or kind of find another way around it, like this, some kind of third way where maybe every side is kind of equally valid. No, I mean, these things are true, and so I need to be able to speak to that clearly when I am challenged on it.
You know, it's funny to hear you say that, and because my son is he's just actually almost got his PhDs in Scotland in theology, and when he decided to go this direction, of course, he grew up in our house, and he heard me talk about this issue. It was less complex then because we weren't mm-hmm. talking about transgenderism, but a lot of ex-gay and ex-lesbian people I intersected with and got to know and love, and we talked about it a lot. So he knew what I thought and what I believed, and as a young biblical student, he wrote me one day, and he said, Mom, I just want you to know I have really searched the scriptures. I have read everything I've been and you know, it's really true.
Amen.
Like God said about, you know, homosexuality and those other things, it's really true. And so he's been very firm because he just went back to scripture. I'm proud of him for that. But in some ways, it does relieve a burden for us, I think, MD. It does simplify and it does bring us hope. For heaven's sake, you said that. I felt it too. Even as I was listening to the trailer, I felt hope because so much of what we're seeing around us seems hopeless, doesn't it?
It does. It seems absolutely hopeless. I mean, of course, it feels hopeless every time you pull up Facebook or Twitter to begin with, just because there's such cesspools of in-chatting and all kinds of fighting and whatnot. But, you know, it's hard to find a truth that will break through to people. But people are listening, and people are, even people who will posture a certain way, are interested to know the other side. And we trust that as the Spirit leads and as the Spirit gives light, that there will be people who even shockingly might seem like enemies right now on the culture war front, yet who the Lord has targeted, and they will start to listen and hear, and hopefully, you know, the Lord gives light and illumination there. So, I mean, there is hope. And, you know, we need to remember that as Christians, that we aren't fighting a hopeless battle, that the Lord is on our side and that truth is on our side. And as long as we stay firm to that truth, I mean, then the Lord can use that to bring about change and restoration in people.
My guest is MD Perkins. He's the director and producer of our new movie, American Family Studios' new movie, In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. And let me just say a few things about this. I have often said and been really hard on pastors because I don't think they want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. And there may be some exceptions to this, but for the most part, not. And I see this movie as really, standing in the gap of filling a void that our people, our children, our nephews, our nieces are struggling with. Our kids don't have the luxury of only reading scripture and staying in a bubble. They are in the mainstream of this horrific propaganda every single day. And so if you would like to help, this is something very practical each of you listening to me can do and honestly could transform and change lives and stop people from doing things that will forever alter their lives in such horrible ways. And so, yes, the movie, you can see it in hisimage.movie. Yes, you can. But this is what we're, this is how you could help. And this is how you could help your friends and family. If you are willing to help us with some kind of the cost, by the way, you can imagine how controversial this is going to be. Can you imagine the attention that's going to come to American Family Association and all of us because of this? I'm not sure if you can, but just think about it for a second. What we want to do is get the word out as quickly as we can. If you can help us spread this powerful message by donating a gift of any amount and receive, you will receive a two-disc In His Image DVD set. Now, what's this? You can share the feature-length documentary with your friends and family and explore over 3 hours of special features on disc two that includes deleted scenes, extended interviews, and biblical answers to commonly asked questions. Your gift helps AFA share the redemptive hope of the gospel presented in His Image. And it doesn't say here how people are going to give. So I need you guys to help me with that. Do you know? Can you guys tell me where they should go to give their gift and to order this? I guess maybe inhisimage.movie. Yeah. We'll hope that it's there. MD, what was the most difficult thing about this process for you?
Well, one of the most difficult things is just finding people that you can partner with, finding those voices of change and hope and transformation. You know, we all the time we hear in culture that people can't change and that these things, you know, we've heard so many numbers of people who've come out of, quote, ex-gay ministries who've gone back into the lifestyle and things like that. And so it's finding those people who are rooted and grounded in the Scripture, who are able to give credible testimony of God's work in their life and be able to point people toward that hope, as well as being aware of the cultural dangers that are all around us. So finding people that were able to kind of check all of those boxes was a challenge at first, but over prayer and research, we were able to find those voices, men like Stephen Black and Walt Heyer and women like Denise Schick and Laura Perry. You hear all of their testimonies in there, very different each one, and yet they all have that common ground of coming to faith in Christ and the Lord really shaping their own thinking about themselves and their understanding of their identity.
Also, you touched on this, but I want to emphasize that they were not shy about talking about how hard it was. They didn't pretend like it was just, I was this one day and the next day I gave my heart to Jesus and everything worked out. They talk about the struggles and the way they had to discipline their minds and put in action what they had chosen and how they had decided to follow Jesus. And so it's very realistic and it's so inspirational. And by the way, I want to mention, one thing you could do now, this you have to think carefully. This could be shown in your church, for heaven's sake, mm-hmm. in your youth groups. This would be a great tool for pastors, wouldn't it, MD?
Oh, absolutely, and that's part of why we made it. I mean, we knew that when we made a documentary, you've got to kind of pick your target audience. And our target audience for this was not really the lost and dying world as much as we want for them to see this and be impacted by it. Our hope was really that Christians, that would be our main target audience for this so that they would see it, they would be impacted, they would be strengthened, and then be able to take the message and the content of this out to their friends and neighbors and loved ones.
All right, so let me repeat that. You can now on YouTube view, at least for right now, we'll see how long that lasts, inhisimage.movie, and I guess that I laugh, but honestly, you should probably do it soon, because when they figure out what's in it, it might not be there. inhisimage.movie. And if you would like to partner with us, we will send you a two-disc In His Image DVD set, and you will love it. You will love it, and it will be not love in the sense of like, ha-ha, but it'll give you so much insight that you need as you're talking to neighbors and friends and everyone around you who's struggling with this. MD Perkins, congratulations on another really fine movie out of American Family Studios. In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. Thank you, MD. Sandy Rios, In the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.